First Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Now will you turn to 2 Timothy, please? 2 Timothy and to chapter chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now chapter 4 and verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full fruit of thy ministry. Now the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. I have been enjoying in this past week reading through 1st and 2nd Timothy. And I want you to think with me of three little statements, and I would imagine we won't get maybe much further than the first one, but I want you to think of that statement in 1st Timothy chapter 4, where Paul writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, but be thou an example. It's that little statement, but be thou. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, we have Paul again saying to Timothy, Timothy, but continue thou. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, we have him say, but watch thou. Timothy, but be thou an example. Timothy, but continue thou in faithfulness to the truth. Timothy, but watch thou in your commission or in your exercise. And he says to Timothy on that occasion, he says, do the work of an evangelist, make full fruit of thy ministry. Coming to our first scripture then that we read together, Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, but continue thou. You will know and remember that Paul had a deep exercise in relation to Timothy. He was a young man that Paul had the joy of seeing saved. If you read chapter 14 of the Acts of the Apostles, that will be clear to you, along with chapter 16. And in chapter 16, Paul goes back again to Iconium and he sees Timothy. And he discovers that he has been, he is a disciple and that he is well approved of the brethren. Then you remember that Paul went with him. Now, a number of years, possibly 17 years, has intervened until we come to 1 Timothy. Now, Paul is writing to him. The meaning of Timothy's name simply means to be honored of God. And here is a young man, and his name, he lives up to his name in a very real sense. And in a day of departure, we find this comparatively young man, as he would take up solemn responsibility in the things of God, as the older man, Paul, is about to leave him. I want you to think with me a little of that statement, "But be thou." And I want you to notice, first of all, Paul desires Timothy to be an example. He desires him to be an example in word, in conversation, in charity or in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And I would like to pass on the exhortation that Paul gave to Timothy, first of all, to my own heart, and then to yours as well. Because, my brethren and sisters, 1 and 2 Timothy are very like our day and generation. You cannot read the early verses of chapter 3, but realize that, like Timothy's day, we too are in dark days. As you read down that section in the earlier part of chapter 3, you would really think that it was written for 1985. And then after that section, Paul says to Timothy, "In spite of all this, Timothy, but continue thou." I want you to think then, first of all, Paul desires him to continue as an example, a model, it would mean, a sample, it would mean. Paul would say to Timothy, "Timothy, but continue thou." A young man bearing a heavy weight of responsibility. And I believe God would call today young men maybe in this gathering today, to take up the cudgels for God, as it were. Young brethren to stand up and be counted in a day of departure. In a day when the principles of New Testament gathering that we hold dear seem in many areas to be slipping away from us. God expects you and I to hold fast. Paul said to Timothy, "The things that thou hast heard of me in faith and love," 2 Timothy 1. But I was encouraged now to think that Paul, an older man, is speaking to a young man. A young man that likely he has seen saved. He has seen saved. He calls him my own son in the faith. A young man that he has confidence in. A young man that's like-minded with him. And now, I want you to notice, there in a six-fold way, Paul tells Timothy how that he can continue. First of all, he says continue in the word. I understand it means teaching and talk of every kind. And you know, we need young men today that are prepared, first of all, to study the word, and then are prepared to love the word and to teach the truth of God. So that, first of all, Paul would say to Timothy, "Timothy, be thou an example in the word." It is not many young men, as one would move over the country, that we see that can stand up and simply and clearly give us the truth of God in our assemblies. And young brethren, to do this, you're going to have to be diligent in the truth of God. And then again, he says, in conversation. Simply means in manner of life. And I would say to my younger brethren and sisters that this would start right in our homes, in our general Christian living, in our general demeanor, our manner of life, first of all in the home, and then in an ungodly world before it would come to the assembly, in the assembly. In word, in conversation, in manner of life. And then Paul says to Timothy, not only that, Timothy, but in love also. First of all, I would suggest to you that that would be devotion to Christ first. Then it would be in love to brethren and sisters like-minded with us in the things of God. And then, brethren and sisters, I would suggest that that love should be displayed to every believer in Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting that love is compromise. And I'm not suggesting we have to compromise with believers who are not obeying the truth of God. But I believe as far as possible, we should be exercised to show love to them, to seek to encourage them in the things of God. And then Paul would say to Timothy, in charity and love, finally, to an ungodly world. He says again to Timothy, Timothy, be thou an example in spirit. And I would take it here that it is the Spirit of Christ evidence in the believer's life. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ himself could say in Luke chapter 4 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I was reading early this morning in relation to this, that Paul was desirous of Timothy that the Spirit of God might be evidenced in his life. We don't get too much teaching today in our assemblies, at our conferences, in relation to the Holy Spirit of God. But it's good to realize, young brother, young sister, that when you trusted Christ as your Savior, I like the expression of the hymn writer when it says, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. The day could very soon be coming when we'll have to have more teaching in relation to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God in relation to the believer. Because around us on every hand, there is erroneous doctrine in relation to the Holy Spirit of God. Down in the West Indies, we have had to seek to ground our believers in relation to this. So many of them are being told today that you receive the Holy Spirit at some subsequent day. But upon believing, you and I were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit, young brother, young sister, is resident in your life, and he wants to take absolute control. And that Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, perhaps I should rather phrase it, the Holy Spirit of God desires to be in control in that life of yours. The Holy Spirit of God will never go contrary to the Word of God. And if you and I would seek in all cases to be guided by the Holy Spirit, remember the promise of the Lord Jesus, and that promise is true. In the life of the believer, the Holy Spirit of God will lead you into all truth. And I believe, young brother, young sister, that you and I so often forget the residence of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we seek just to go it alone. But I want you to think another aspect of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Paul says, Timothy, be thou an example in spirit. You remember in Galatians chapter 5, there we have reference to the fruit of the Spirit, and it's a ninefold fruit. I haven't time the 5 minutes that I have left to develop this at all, only to say this, that I would suggest to you that the first three of those fruit, and remember it is fruit and not fruits, I would believe that the suggestion is this, that every one of the nine should be operative in the believer's life, should be operative in your life and mine. And you remember the first three are love, joy, and peace. I would suggest that that is Godward, towards God. Then there is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And I would suggest that that would be reaching outward. And then there is faith, meekness, temperance. And I would suggest that that was inward as to myself. The nine fruit of the Spirit, and Paul says to Timothy, now Timothy, be thou an example in spirit. In other words, let the fruit of the Spirit be an evidence in your life. And then he says, be thou an example in purity. Not only purity of the flesh, but purity of motives and actions as well. And my brethren and sisters, I believe this should be a very deep exercise. Young Christian, if you are going to be any good for God, your life is going to have to be pure. If you're going to be used of God, your motives are going to have to be honest. And your actions are going to be such that they will please the Lord. Now Paul would say to Timothy, Timothy, in other words, to use an everyday expression, you can't go it alone. You're going to need help for this. And he says, Timothy, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Reading, I would suggest that would be that personal nourishment that one needs. You know, as one would look around, one would wonder, and as I would look over this audience today, I wonder, would you be embarrassed if I were to ask you how much you daily read of the Word of God? I'm not suggesting that 5 minutes just before you're watching the clock and you're running out to business that you say, oh, I better read a psalm. I don't mean that at all, my brethren and sisters. I mean that sitting down camp. Now, you can get the time. Don't tell me you can't take the time. If you wanted to go jogging, you could get up an hour earlier. If you wanted to go swimming, you could fit it in. It's that time, my brethren and sisters, where without any hurry, I know I have that quiet time where I can sit down. I may only read a verse, but in that verse my soul is nourished, and I lift my heart to the Lord, and I thank the Lord for Calvary. My heart is warmed. What do we know about quiet meditation in the presence of God? My brethren and sisters, it's like going continually without nourishing your body. Your body will become sick if you don't nourish it. You and I need special nourishment. If you get nothing else from this little message this afternoon, young brother, young sister, I would go away happy if I felt that you were going to take time to be holy, as the hymn writer says. You are going to take time to read God's Word, and through God's Word, let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. You would rise fortified and able in a greater sense to face the problems and the temptations of the day. Give attention to reading. and then to exhortation, to the nourishment of others, and then doctrine. And I would suggest to you, that would be the personal check, and the seeking to teach others the truth of God, as Paul had learnt it from Timothy, had learnt it from Paul. Because you remember, Paul said to Timothy, the things which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, those things, Timothy was responsible to the Lord to seek to communicate to others.